God speaking through his prophet Isaiah. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I feel your presence in this place this morning. Father, I really believe we're all here assembled just as we are today for a reason. Father, you've placed us all together in this place today for a purpose at this time on this day. And Father, we know you have a message for us this morning. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to open our hearts, Father, and be receptive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning. And to glean, Lord, the message that you have for us. And Father, as you touch our hearts, Father, make us responsive to you. Father, if there are any here this morning that aren't saved, have never accepted that free gift of salvation, have never given their heart and their life to you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day they do just that. Father, whatever problems, whatever is weighing us down this morning, Father, I pray that we would give it all to you this morning and focus our full attention, Lord, on what you would have us to do. Father, bless us now and touch hearts and change lives is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. And I read it this week when I was studying, and I really just couldn't get away from it. I just kept coming back to this. It's a very simple but a very powerful verse. It's one of the verses that doesn't need a lot of exegesis. It doesn't need a lot of explaining. It's pretty plain and simple and to the point, and we can understand it. Just to tell you how powerful it is, tradition says that the great minister Charles Spurgeon actually quoted this scripture one day when he was testing the acoustics for a new sanctuary. He quoted this scripture. And several years later, the story goes that he was called to the bedside of a dying man who was working in the balcony that day and had not been able to get this verse off his mind, and Spurgeon was able to lead him to the Lord on his deathbed. Folks, there's power in this verse. That man in the balcony that day was probably just like a lot of people in the world today, looking for something, searching for something. And you know, God doesn't hide from us. God makes himself available to us. And if we seek after him, we'll find him. We'll find him. Now, in relation to looking at something, have you ever heard of love at first sight? I've heard people say, I don't believe in that. I can tell you, it's the truth. Because it happened to me. I was sitting at a piano over here, playing for a Christmas play, and this sweet little angel stood up in a chair right here. And I thought, she's cute. I let her get a little older, but then I called her, and the rest is history. I look back on it now, and I guess that was love at first sight. I've never asked Ginger if that was the same for her. I figured to leave well enough alone, as far as that's concerned. But what we set our eyes on has an effect on our actions, does it not? If we set our eyes on something and we determine in our hearts that we're going to get it, we devote our efforts toward that. For example, in the business world, we may set our eyes on, you know what, I want to attain that job. And we look and we set our hearts on that and we find out what we've got to do to qualify for that job, if it's additional education or if we have to really get to know somebody, or if we have to put ourselves in a position or work a little harder, whatever we have to do, if we set our sights on that, we start driving for it. And we try to attain it. We do everything we can. Years ago, I was taking a series of 10 exams, and I was trying to get them all in by a certain date, because if I did, me and Ginger and Spencer were going to Hawaii, and I didn't have to pay for it. That was an additional incentive. And I remember I took two exams at one time, and I failed one of them and passed the other. And I remember my boss at that time, Miss Beverly Adams, she came to me and she said, "How did you do? Did you get your results on your exams?" I said, "Yeah, I passed one and I didn't pass the other." She goes, "Oh." She goes, "I guess you probably won't make Hawaii." That made me more determined than ever to prove her wrong. And I did. And you know, when we set our eyes and we set our sights on something, we go after it. It could be a job, it could be a new home, it could be a car, but whatever we see with our eyes and we determine in our hearts that we want, we push for it until we can try to make it a reality. And we push for it hard. We push for it hard. Now, this can be a positive or a negative. A positive or a negative. If we set our sights on deepening our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're determined that we're going to step out and step up, and if we set our minds and our hearts on that, and we focus on that and go after it with a zeal that's unmatched that we've in our lives before, we're going to attain that. But the problem arises when things take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, and we begin to pursue them more than we do our relationship with Him. That's where we find ourselves in trouble. Jesus Christ demands first place in our lives ahead of anything else. And anything else we put ahead of Him is an idol. Anything. Anything. This verse that we read, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." In this verse, the Lord is telling us to look to Him. Not to anything else, but look to Him. Parents, have you ever tried to have an important conversation with your children, grandparents, or with your grandchildren, and you start talking to them, you're trying to get something important across to them, and they won't look at you? And what do you tell them? You say, "Look at me when I'm talking to you. Look at me when I'm talking to you." That is, we want to do that to ensure that they're listening to us, that they hear what we're trying to tell them. We don't want to guess. It's important enough, we want to see their eyes. We want to see their body language, their reaction when we're trying to impart that knowledge to them. We want to make sure they understand what we're telling them, that there's no gray area, that we're telling them something important and that they're grasping it. The same holds true for our God. He wants our eyes, our hearts, and our full attention focused on Him for what He's about to say in this verse. So He says, "Look to me." Look at me. Don't look at idols. Don't look to anyone else. Don't look to yourselves. Don't look to your money, your power, not religion. Don't even look at the church. Look to Him. Look to Him. That word "look" in the Hebrew used there for "look," it's a word called panah. And it actually means to turn, not really to look. So if you really read that verse, the Lord is saying, turn away from what you're looking at right now and look at me. Turn away from the things that are taking your attention away from me and look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You know, people in this world today are looking at a lot of things other than the Lord Jesus Christ to get them into heaven. People are looking at a church. People are looking to the fact that they were baptized. People are looking to the fact that they were dedicated as a child. People are looking to what mama and daddy said or did. People are looking to their own morality. People are looking to how good they are. People are looking to the fact that they're a member on a church roll. But none of that. None of that takes the place of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll want all these things. But the thing that saves us is having Jesus in our heart. Folks, unless we're looking to Almighty God, unless we're looking at Him, we're looking in the wrong place. The next part of this verse bears this out, where God goes on to say that if you look to me, if you turn away from what you're looking at now that's taking your attention away from me, if you look to me, then you can be saved. God makes it plain right here that His plan of salvation is for everyone. That plan came into fruition when God sent His Son Jesus Christ into this world to die for our sins. Salvation is available to all, to every one of us. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Christ, wonderful. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that opportunity. But here's the thing. We all have a free will to either accept it or reject it. And let me tell you, folks, if you're here today, you're either saved or unsaved. There is no in-between. There is no in-between. You fit in one of those two categories. The Lord says here, if you look to me, you can be saved. But saved from what? Saved from what? We can be saved from eternal separation from God, which is a place where there is torment day and night, a place with no relief, a place where there'll be no escape. Folks, we can be saved from hell. And I know a lot of pulpits now you don't hear hell preached about because everyone wants to hear about the good things of the Scripture, about a loving God. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I do serve a God that loves me. He has blessed me so much. There's no way I can say that He doesn't love me. He's done so much for me. There's no way I can say that He doesn't love me. My Jesus loves me. And He loves you too. We serve and we worship a loving God. But make no mistake, we also serve and worship a just God. I believe hell is real. Just as sure as I believe that heaven is real. I made a decision a long time ago that I wanted heaven as my eternal home. I wasn't always on that right track after I made that decision, but praise God, I am now. And I know I've had more people ask me, something must be wrong with me on how I look, but I've had more people ask me in the last few days, are you okay? Are you getting any rest? Wanda asked me yesterday. She said, you need to slow down. And I just looked at her like, you're telling me to slow down. But I told Wanda the same thing I've told everybody else. I told my mother-in-law many years ago, and I still mean it. Everything I'm doing right now, I enjoy. Everything I'm doing right now, God has blessed me to do. So, Powhatan, you need to know this. I hope I'm around till I am old and gray. I got a lot of things I want to see happen. I got a lot of things I want to do. But if you hear tomorrow that I have passed away, you understand this. I'm in heaven. And I went doing something I enjoy. And you know what? Death doesn't scare me, but hell scares me to death. It frightens me for the people that don't know Christ as their Savior. It frightens me for those that are playing religion. Because, folks, there is coming a judgment day. And we're going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. The Lord God in our scripture this morning says, turn from what you're looking at that's taking your affections away from me and look at me, because looking at me, I can save you. I can save you from hell. The Lord ends this verse with a very important statement. He says, "For I am God, and there is none else." There is none else. Folks, there is no other way to be saved other than through Jesus Christ. That's it. You may not like that route, which I don't know why you wouldn't. You may not agree with it, which doesn't matter. The Lord said, "I am God, and there is none else." That's it. One way. One way. That's it. We can't, that is something that is non-negotiable. That is something that we are not going to negotiate our way into heaven another way. There is one way there, and that is through Jesus Christ. The scripture says that Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." I'm it. This is the way. You're going to either choose it or reject it. Jesus and accepting His free gift of salvation is the only way to heaven. Folks, we can't be good enough. We can't buy our way in. We can't do enough good deeds. It's only by accepting Jesus into our hearts that we can be saved. Let me give you an example. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross between two thieves? One thief started looking at Jesus and saying, "Hey, if you're really who you say you are, how about coming off this cross? And by the way, while you're at it, take us down too." The other thief spoke up and he said, "Why are you saying that to this man? This man is innocent. He's not done anything. We're here justly. We're hanging on this cross because we're being punished. But this man hasn't done anything." Now I want you to think about this thief that is saying this about Jesus. He was hanging there, rightly being punished for crimes that he had committed. He admitted that, did he not? He said, "You know, we're here because we done wrong. We did things that were wrong. We were caught. We were tried. We were convicted. And now we're having to suffer the consequences for our actions." This man was minutes away from death. There was absolutely no way he could make right all the wrong that he had done. He couldn't replace what he had stolen. He couldn't go back and tell the families, "I'm sorry, I stole from you." He's hanging on the cross. He's never getting off of this alive. He's dying. But the one, the only one that could have saved him is hanging right there beside him. And he makes a very simple statement. He just looks at him and he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus didn't disappoint, did he? Jesus said, "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise." Two thieves, two criminals, one on Jesus' right hand, one on Jesus' left. I don't know which one was which. One accepted him. The other one died in his sins. One is going to wind up in hell. One is in paradise with Jesus Christ. There was nothing he could do to make his wrong right. The only thing that could make his wrong right was accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior. Folks, there's nothing we can do to better ourselves and earn our way into heaven. The only thing we can do is accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, this thief's life was made clean. His slate was wiped clean. All of his sins were forgiven, not because of anything he did, but because he reached out to the only one that could ever help him, Jesus Christ, and there was none else. That was it. But he did that. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Folks, I hope everybody in this room this morning is saved and on your way to heaven. But I also know that there may be some of you that have put it off. Some that have looked for satisfaction in other things. Some that may have thought, well, you know what, there's another way to get this salvation other than walk in the aisle of this church. But folks, one thing is for sure, there is no other way to be saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way, plain and simple. In our scripture today, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. What he's saying is, turn around from the things that are taking your eyes off of me and listen to me. You can be saved. There's hope. I am God, and there is nothing else that I can do for you other than that. There's nobody else that can do for you what I can do for you. Look to me and be saved. Folks, that's his love letter to us this morning. Turn away from everything that we've placed ahead of God and be saved. There's not salvation in anything else. Our Bible tells us there's going to be many people on Judgment Day that are standing in front of the Lord talking about all the things that they've done. Scripture says that they'll say, Lord, we've done this and we've done that in your name. Why can't we come in? I can almost see, as Jesus says in Scripture, that he's going to look at them and say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Folks, that's that personal relationship. He knows us, and we need to know him. That's that relationship that only he can bring. Most of you know that I deal in the insurance business, and I heard a guy from up in Virginia. And I'll end with this. I heard a guy up in Virginia that he was talking with one of his larger clients. The man pays him about $500,000 in insurance money every year between his business and all the toys. He's a fairly wealthy individual. And this guy used to live in Florida, and he was in Florida when Hurricane Andrew came through, and his home was flooded. He said, Roger, he said, I had 9 feet of water in my home. He said, thank God I had flood insurance. He said, it's the only claim I've ever had that if it hadn't been covered, it would have wiped me out because I couldn't have afforded to put it back. So now he recommends flood coverage to everybody. He said he was talking to this guy, and he recommended flood coverage to him, and it was quite expensive. He said the man looked at him and said, Bob, I've only got so much money I can pay you for insurance. So let me ask you this. You're wanting to sell me something else. He said, if you were me and I've got a finite amount of money to put toward my insurance, what would you suggest I put that toward? Because I'm going to have to let something go. What is the most important place I can spend my money is my question. And Bob said, you know what? He said, I didn't have an answer for him. He caught me off guard. He said, but I called him the next day. I said, Ralph, I've got an answer for you. You ask me where was the most important place I could put my insurance dollar. He said, here it is. You need to put your insurance dollars to buy the coverage that's going to respond to the claim you just had. He said, well, how am I supposed to know what that is? He said, that's my point. You need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. He was planning for something that may or may not happen. Folks, I'm asking you this morning to plan for something that is going to happen. There is no other place you should put your faith, hope, and trust other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. This is a fact. Every one of us are going to close our eyes in death unless the Lord comes back before. Either way, we have got to make a decision where we're going to spend eternity. Now, if you're here this morning and you already have Him in your heart, you know Him as your Savior, you've made that commitment, you're living that life, praise God. But do you have those close to you in your life that don't know Him as their Savior? Come to this altar and pray that they'll turn their eyes from the things that are taking them away from God and focus them on the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is none else. If you're here this morning and you've placed your faith, hope, and trust in the things of this world and other things that look so good, and your life is a little bit out of kilter, you need Jesus in your life. Turn your eyes away from the things that are taking your focus away from Jesus Christ and put them on Him. Do you know Jesus today? Do you have Him in your hearts? Are you living your life for Him? Do you have that personal relationship with Him? If not, look to Him and be saved. Look to Him and be saved. The song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, You bless us in this world, Father, and there's so many things that our eyes seek attention from. But Lord, as You said in Your Word, that we are to turn and look to You and be saved because You're God and there are none else. And Father, we believe that here this morning. Father, in my heart, I can almost imagine, Lord, that commitments have been made already in these pews this morning. Father, as You've touched hearts and lives. Father, now as we have our time of invitation, as we have our time of commitment, make us individually and collectively as your church. Father, make us to turn, Lord, from anything that is taking our attention away from You and look to You. Father, bless us and lift us up. Touch hearts, Father, and change lives right now. We give this time to You, and we await now, Father, on the moving of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. This morning,